We come to the message this morning. Just a reminder, we're studying the whole armor of God. Next Sunday, we will look at the sword of the Spirit. And then for July the 4th weekend, we will look at verses 18 to 20 in chapter 6. And three times in verses 18 to 20 in chapter 6, Paul mentions prayer. And so you'll see how the whole armor is to be embedded in prayer. And Paul bids us to pray. And so that will be July the 4th weekend as we conclude the series on that weekend. The first scripture reading today is from Ephesians 6. It's about the whole armor. We've gone through it, and then today we add the helmet, and you will see the sword is also mentioned in the same verse, and so we'll mention both of those. Beginning at verse 10 in chapter 6, "Finally, be strong in the Lord, and in the strength of his power, put on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the tricks of the devil. For our struggle is not against blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers, and this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on the evil day, and having prevailed against everything, to stand firm. Stand therefore and belt your waist with the truth, and put on the breastplate of righteousness, and lace up your sandals in preparation for the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Then take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." And then I want to read a second reading in 2 Corinthians. Paul writes again to these particular Christians, and you'll see a theme of how he talks about the battle that we face, the evil that we face, beginning in chapter 10, the first five verses. "I myself, Paul, appeal to you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. I who am humble when face to face with you, but bold toward you when I am away. I ask that when I am present, I need not to show boldness by daring to oppose those who think we are acting according to human standards. Indeed, we live as humans, but do not wage war according to human standards. For the weapons of our warfare are not merely human, but they have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every proud obstacle raised up against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought captive to obey Christ." Let's pray as we come to the message this morning. O Lord and our God, as we come to you this day on this Father's Day, in prayer before your word is proclaimed, we pray for our church and we pray for our nation and world. Remind us through these words that were inspired by you and given to the Apostle Paul that we live in a world in which there are serious matters. There is evil all around us. And you bid us to prepare ourselves to face such power. And so speak to each one of us this morning, O Lord, at our point of need, and help us to realize the importance of the helmet of salvation. For we pray in Christ's name, amen. I heard this story a few years ago told as a true story, and I kid you not, but it was about a new church. There was a new church getting started, and its members wanted to emphasize how important the Bible was to them in this new church development. They wanted the whole community to know that the church, that the Bible mattered to them. And so in order to do this, what they decided to do was to put a Bible verse over each door of a particular room in their new church building. For instance, over the doors of the sanctuary, they inscribed these words that you know from Scripture. "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." Above the choir room, Stephanie would like this if she were here. They place the words from Psalm 100, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." At the entrance to the children's area, the Sunday school, they put these words that you know, "Welcome the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God." And then over the door to the kitchen, to the fellowship hall area, where people would gather and bring lots of potluck meals, they place the fourth beatitude, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And then they came to the nursery. They had already used that famous verse about welcoming the children, and they couldn't think of a verse to put over the door of the nursery. And suddenly someone said, "What about Paul's famous verse about the resurrection from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51? And those are the words they put over the door of the nursery. Do you know what that verse says? This is what it says. "Lo, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we will be changed." How about that, Gary? We will not all sleep. We'll be changed. Seriously, though, that verse, it captures for us what may be one of the greatest hopes for us as Christians. The hope that we shall be changed. Not just transformed as better people throughout this life that we're passing through, but that we will be changed and know eternal life from our experience later there in heaven. It is the hope of salvation to which Paul points us to this essential piece today of Christian armor. It's a very important piece. Just as the helmet was the essential item for the soldier to protect his head, so the hope of salvation is essential for every Christian. The helmet of salvation we are given, Paul would argue to us, is to protect our minds. That's why you wear a helmet, to protect the brain, so that we can treasure the truth and know the truth that God has given us in Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified on the cross, who paid the ultimate price so that we might have eternal life. That helmet protects that truth about our salvation. It is a free gift, that of salvation. We cannot earn it on our own. It is provided just as I have described it by the crucifixion on the cross of Jesus Christ. And thus, the great importance of this fifth piece of God's armor that we reflect upon today. It is represented by that Roman soldier's helmet that the Apostle Paul would have noted very carefully and very particularly as he was in prison writing this particular letter. The helmet of the Roman soldier, it was made literally of heavy molded metal. Sometimes there was a piece of leather inside that metal hat to give it a good fit. But the helmets were made of that heavy metal, usually with plates that came around the cheekbones to help protect the face. They protected, of course, again, the head, the brain, from injury, particularly from the dangerous broadswords, the two-handed swords that were used in those days for fighting. The fact that the helmet is related here by Paul to salvation indicates that Satan's blows are directed at undermining our thinking, our belief, and our security and the assurances and the promises that we are given by God. And thus we need to have that helmet to protect our thoughts and our beliefs. One commentary I read said it this way: the two dangerous edges of Satan's spiritual broadsword are discouragement and doubt. To discourage us, the evil one points to our failures. To discourage us, the evil one points to our brokenness, our sins, our unresolved problems, even our poor health at times, or to whatever else seems to be negative in our lives. The evil one will use it to sow despair and doubt into our minds. The importance of the helmet. The evil one does all of this to make us lose confidence in the love and care we have in our Heavenly Father, as well as our hope we have in this life and in the life to come. And that's why we need to protect ourselves with the truth of that helmet of salvation. You know, it has been said, you've heard this before, you are what you eat. Well, it's even truer to say, you are what you think, or you are what you believe. You see, God provides us with this helmet of salvation to cause us to realize the importance of our thinking, of our thoughts as we go through each day of living. Our thoughts guide our lives. Ideas control, they do, in fact, our world. They shape our future. They create destinies. And God has created us with the freedom of choice to choose what we believe and what we think. That's a huge responsibility. Now, counselors and psychologists, they tell us that thoughts can create emotions, and emotions can lead to certain behaviors and certain actions, so that our actions and behaviors are determined by how we think, the attitude, if you will, of how we choose to live. And therefore, if you want to change your actions, you first must change the way that you are thinking. You see where Paul is going here about this helmet. To change how we act, we must begin to change how we think in this evil world that we live in. I want to tell you about a young man I met years ago, Aaron Gooding. Aaron Gooding, when I met him, was a teenager. And when Joyce and I and Will and Ben, when we left Church of the Palms to come to Northwood Presbyterian Church in 2005, Aaron was 17 years of age. You can look Aaron Gooding up on YouTube for his interview. But Aaron was 17. I remember saying hello to him on many a Sunday morning, and I would see him a lot because his mother would come early. She was our middle school youth director, and she would come with her son and her daughter in tow every Sunday. And I would say hello to Aaron, and I remember Aaron as a very quiet young man. His dad was one of the best dads I've ever known. But in a recent YouTube interview, Aaron said that when he was a teenager, he lacked for nothing growing up. He was raised in a middle to upper class family in Lakewood Ranch, and for whatever reason, he always felt that he had a chip on his shoulder. He said, I almost thought when I reached 18 about going into the Marines because I knew I needed a good kick in the bottom. That's the way he put it. There was some chip I had on my shoulder. His decisions, he says in the interview, were ruled by his emotions. His parents guided him the best way that he could, that they could. And then at 19 years of age, he was home from his first year in college, and Aaron went to Siesta Key Beach, and there he began to drink lots of alcohol with his friends. And finally, he drove home. And on the way home, he ran through a red light, and he T-boned another car. And the young woman in that car was 21 years of age, and she died of internal bleeding. Aaron says in his interview, when he woke up a couple hours later from his concussion from the accident, there was a police officer standing above him, letting him know and telling him that he had tragically taken the life of another human being. Aaron would spend the next decade in prison. And I remember we had been here 2 years as a family, and we knew this family. We knew Aaron. And it was a shock to learn he would be in prison for that length of time, just starting out in life. One of the things Aaron said that he learned from his incarceration was that every single day when he would wake up, he could choose his attitude. He said, you get to decide each day when you wake up if you're going to be upset or you're going to be bitter about life. whether you're going to be happy or you're going to be sad. When someone calls you something nasty trying to pick a fight in prison, when something does something to you, you can decide how you respond, because we make our own decisions and our decisions inform our actions. And he said, I realized that if I could figure out life in my incarceration, it would be a piece of cake when I got out. He says in the interview, don't feel sorry for me. I own what I did. I made a terrible mistake, and not a day goes by that I wish I could take it back. But I learned to ask myself, am I making decisions controlled by my emotions or by my mind? Before my time in prison, I lived a life as a teenager by simply doing what felt good. And many people in our world, he says, feel and do just the same. And today, Aaron says, I just want to help others so that others don't make the same mistake I did and have to go through what I went through. One of the many books that he read while he was in prison, and that's a favorite hobby of those who are in prison to read, he said it was a book that really changed his life. It was one that was introduced to him by his father. It's a book by the Reverend Charles Swindoll about attitude. And here's a short quote from the author. Swindoll says, the longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude to me is more important than the past. Attitude is more important than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures, than successes. Attitude is more important than what other people think, what other people say, or what other people do. Attitude will make or break a company, a business, a church, or a family. And the remarkable thing, he continues, is that we have a choice every day regarding the attitude that we choose to embrace. And Swindoll concludes, he says, I am convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react. Would you agree with that? I would. This basic connection between thought patterns and human behavior, I can tell you, many of you know this from Bible study, it's revealed again and again, that connection between our thoughts and our actions all through, especially the scriptures of the Old Testament and all the stories that are given to us. And according to the Bible, the helmet of salvation helps us to see the dimensions we can see in that helmet of salvation as we peer through it, the dimension that is full of God's grace. And those three dimensions are the past, the present, and the future. William Barclay, the Scottish commentator, he writes about this in his book on Ephesians. He writes about wearing the helmet of the armor of God. He writes this, while it is true that salvation which is in Christ, that he gives us forgiveness for sins in the past, it does not only look backwards, that of our salvation. Instead, it also provides us with strength to conquer evil in the present and in the future days to come. He continues, when you belong heart, mind, and body and soul to God, then you no longer live just for yourself. Your goals change, your standards change, your possibilities change, your priorities change. That's what happens when you put on the helmet of salvation. You see everything differently. We take every thought captive, and we are to make it obey Christ, says 2 Corinthians that we read today. And that's exactly what happens to us when we confront the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ on the cross. We are changed, and we become hopefully more and more throughout our lives to begin to reflect on the beauty of living for Jesus Christ and becoming more and more like Him as the days go by. That's the hope that comes when you wear this special helmet. Your present life is empowered. Yes, your past sins are forgiven, but your present life is empowered. And the future dimension of your life is changed as well. A day will come. It will come when we are delivered to our final salvation. Just think of the promises which are ours in regards to heaven that the Scripture teaches. There will be a time when we will be filled with the glory of God. There we shall be presented without spot or blemish before the throne of God. It is there that we will be reunited with all those who have preceded us in death. It is there that we will see Jesus face to face and become like Him. It is there when we will see perfectly. It is here that we see in a mirror dimly. And that description alone should simply take our breath away as we seek to wear this helmet of salvation, because that's what you'll see, a promised future. I like what C.S. Lewis says about this view of life. He says, "Aim at heaven and you will get earth thrown in. But aim at earth and you will get neither." You see, live then in the hope for the things of the next world. This world is not our home. Have you ever heard that before? This world's not our home. And yet we are called by God to live up to our best selves as we're passing through it. Growing up, I remember a Sunday school teacher named Mildred Zabinden. She had a son, Louis Zabinden. He was for many years, 30 years in fact, the pastor of the First Presbyterian Church of San Antonio, Texas. Louis Zabinden, he was known to have begun San Antonio Metropolitan Ministries in the basement of his church. He would often come home because he found that homeless people were sleeping in the bushes around the church, in that downtown church, and he would have his children go to one of the bedrooms, and he would bring a homeless person home for a day or two and try to help them straighten out their lives. He tried to live to be his best self. Anyway, Mildred Zabinden, his mother, she was a great influence in our church, in that little Tennessee church, and she used to say this about her faith of the future and the kind of faith we should have about the future. She would say, "We don't belong anymore here anymore than a fish belongs in the desert. We don't belong here anymore than a camel belongs in the sea. We belong to God," she said, "and nothing in this world can begin to compare with the splendor that awaits us." And so if you put on that helmet of salvation, you can see the past, the present, and a future dimension that is promised. In this world, we will encounter tough times. In this world, we will be surrounded, and we are surrounded by evil. That's why we need to put on the helmet of salvation and to think about the truth that we have in the God we know in Jesus Christ. We are to live with the purposes of God now, knowing that our future is secure. And now I want to finish this morning with just a personal word, a personal witness. Like many of you, I have found that a personal relationship throughout life with Jesus Christ can help us to live in a new and a powerful way. It's important that we do that. To live in obedience to Him, to know of His faithfulness, to know of His power, and to experience His forgiveness and to enjoy His love. You can do that each day in relationship with Him. And it is my belief and the teachings of Scripture that there will come the day when you and I will stand before God, and then we will hear angels sing, and we'll see the face of Jesus, and we'll know that the kingdom of our Lord and His reign shall last forever and ever. And why do I know that? I know that because I am able to treasure this truth, because I have put on the helmet of salvation. And so may we all, and so may we all as we go from here. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, salvation we know comes from You alone. And so today, please give us the assurance that we are Your children. Help us to bank on that truth, to hold it in our hearts and minds. and in this broken and dying world, remind us of your promises and help us to renew our minds day by day, to purge any thoughts that are not good and not true, and equip us, we pray, for the battlefield of life. Destroy any doubts that may cloud our minds and help us to keep our minds on the things of eternity, the things that are lasting, even amidst the worries that we carry every day. And help us to love you, Lord, and to trust you today, tomorrow, and always. In Jesus' name, amen.